This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I like that they have personality.
I'm living my life, man. The grass is so freaking green here, you have no idea.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The 47-year wait is over! The Denver Nuggets stand on top!
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Tom Pelissero. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, free agent running back Leonard Fournette. Still to come, senior writer for GolfChannel.com, Rex Hoggard. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Tom Pelissero.
I just spoke to Stephon Diggs' agent, Adisa Bakari, who told me, and I quote, "Stephon's been there since yesterday at 8 a.m. I don't know why Sean McDermott said what he said today. There are things being worked out on the way to being worked out. Stephon has been there since Sunday night. He was in the building this morning." Not currently there,
okay.
But there's obviously some moving parts here, and we'll see exactly where all this lands with Stephon Diggs. We'll keep an eye on this, talk about it a little bit later on in the show. Right now, we are joined from the Golf Channel by a guy who's covering a very interesting sport at the present moment as we head toward the U.S. Open this week. Rex Hoggard is our guest. Rex, you live this on a daily basis, man. I cover the NFL for a living, so I see the headlines. I see everything that's taken place over the last week or two here. On the inside, when you're talking to people, is the entire situation with the PGA and live in the uncertainty as much of a gong show as it appears to those of us on the outside?
When you said I covered an interesting sport, I would love just to cover the actual sport. That's difficult. Gong show is a good way of putting it. I think I'm going to steal that line. I do like that.
It's all yours.
I mean, the agreement that was announced last week, and I have had to admit this now a couple times in different interviews, and as best I can tell, there were five people in the world that knew this was happening before last Tuesday. And that puts me in a unique position because they actually put insider under my name on my title. And you can't imagine how unbelievably embarrassing it is to have that on your title and have no idea something like this is going to happen, because no one knew this was going to happen. Like I said, there were five people, the commissioner, the governor of the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, a couple of hand-selected lieutenants. And it's interesting being here at the LA Open. I mean, I'm sorry, at Los Angeles Country Club, and hearing players getting asked about what this means and what the future looks like. And there's absolutely zero answers. It's a complete void of information. It's a fascinating time.
I got to imagine, and I know that this has been discussed, but if I'm a PGA player, if I'm Rory McIlroy, and I got to tee off with Brooks Koepka, regardless of what our relationship is away from golf, but if I'm staring at this guy who went and took $100-odd million from the Saudis and went there amidst all the controversy, and I'm Rory and I stuck around, there is nothing that anyone can say to me that makes me feel good about this or even understands how this could happen. Like, wasn't this almost the exact complaint that the LIV golfers raised, which was they have no say, they're not making the money from the PGA, they've got no say in how the tour is run, and here we are on the back end of it, you've merged, and the guys who actually stuck around end up on the short end of the stick for the exact reasons that the guys who left cited for exiting when they did.
I think we're seeing that level of frustration. You're absolutely right. Rory McIlroy, who has been the best soldier that Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA Tour, could have ever wanted. He was an outspoken proponent. He was overly critical of LIV Golf. He drew the line. He did the famous line, "I want to be on the right side of history." He's gone virtually radio silent, and I understand why. He canceled his press conference this week at the U.S. Open. Even the last few weeks, he has become reserved. You could tell, I don't think he knew this was coming, but he had an idea that something was in the mix. Look at the other side of it. John Rahm just spoke with the media today at LACC. And he had been a very loyal PGA Tour supporter, and he said the right thing, but one of the lines that stood out was, "I want to believe our leaders are doing what's right for us, but it's hard to do that right now."
How is Jay Monahan still the commissioner?
You know, I think, and I've been asked this a couple times, and I hate doing the "this guy should get fired," because it seems that you always do that about coaches and managers. In this particular case, it's a legitimate question, and not because of any performance issues. We can argue that did he do a good job, did he not do a good job? I mean, everyone's going to have their opinions. My bigger concern is, how does he still have a job based on the idea that you have spent the last year being very, very critical of someone who now sits in a boardroom next to you. I don't know how that dynamic works.
And moving forward, like how do you have confidence? Because again, I read that letter that he sent to the players that to me just, and again, I'm on the outside of this, man. You live this every day, but like the tone of it seems so completely off. It was like this great celebration of the PGA, and this is a great thing. There was no like, hey guys, I really messed up. I know you're going to be furious at me. It was like, hey, come on over. Let's have a little conversation over there. I really have a lot of questions. And even if somewhere down the line, I know there's been references to some type of a pot or a pool for the players who didn't go to LIV and they can make money, like a revenue sharing type of thing, and the LIV golfers can't. There's a way you can get that money back. Even setting aside like time value of money and investments, there's no way these guys are ever going to make up the money. And I don't know that there is there a world where the Rory McIlroys of the world can refuse to play until there's an equitable solution to this. That might be, you know, good money after bad money type of a situation. I just don't know how you do what Jay Monahan and the PGA seems to be wanting the players to do, which is just, hey, guys, we know you're kind of mad about this, but we just, hey, we got to move forward. How about that U.S. Open? Let's go play.
No, and look, I've been doing this for a lot of years, and I've heard whispers of a union, and certainly those whispers have become shouts. And that was certainly the case last Tuesday when the commissioner met with players right after this announcement. And there was anger, there was confusion, there was probably a little bit of betrayal in that room. I think there's two parts of this equation. Well, there's kind of three parts. But one is what this actual new entity is going to look like, and we have no idea. Like, there's a huge void of information right now. The other two parts that are most interesting to me right now is, one, how do those players who you just mentioned stay loyal to the PGA Tour? How do they get made whole? And that's a line that's being thrown out there now. Like, this is a Sopranos episode or Goodfellas movie. Like, it's amazing that they're using that so freely right now. That's money. And it's a lot of money. But given the fact that the PGA Tour is now partners with the Public Investment Fund, which it all feels like, you know, monopoly money to them, I don't know if that's the bigger issue than the second issue, which is, how do the players who join LIV Golf come back? What does that path look like? Because I think that's going to be a harder road.
I'll tell you, the path that it looks like is they drive in their Rolls Royce and dripping money out of all their pockets. I mean, they're the guys who won in my mind. Now, I understand like just the interpersonal dynamics of it are awkward. And even the PGA that, you know, when the golfers originally joined LIV, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Rex, but they basically, you know, immediately got the letter that, hey, if you play in any events, you are barred from these PGA Tour events. And there were questions about, could they even come back and play in majors? That obviously ended up getting resolved on most fronts here. I don't know that there's a lot of shame for the Bryson DeChambeaus of the world because, you know, he won. He's got 100 million reasons to feel good about this. But, you know, the fact that you've got maybe the two front men, Rory and Brooks, playing together, like, do we anticipate, are they okay in terms of, like, as friends at this point, or is this going to be an ice storm out there in the opening round?
I mean, they didn't like each other before LIV Golf became a thing. Go back to the PGA Championship just a few years ago at Kiawah Island. I mean, we all saw that video, and we know that what the relationship is like. It's going to be frosty, but I think in what you're hearing from players is they're really, really good at compartmentalizing, and only because they've had to do it a lot lately, where there's a lot of outside noise, there's a lot of chatter, and when you show up here, if you're Jon Rahm or Rory or anyone else, you really need to focus on what's going to be a very, very difficult test. Like, the golf course is going to be so demanding that every part of your game needs to be on. And as it applies to the LIV guys, it's not about if they want to come back. It's more about the administrative fact. Like, the PGA Tour has to figure out a way to create a path that's going to be punishing. So there'll be fines, there'll be suspension, but it can't be punishing enough that your, let's say, Phil Mickelson, for example, just won't want to do it. It's going to be a very fine line.
How's Phil, who's always a... Yeah, he can be a pretty prickly personality when he likes. He, you know, if there's certain types of questions, certain types of things, he can bristle at it. That's always been part of his persona. How does he come back to this? As really, you know, I know Greg Norman was a big piece of this, but Phil, in a lot of ways, was kind of the face of this whole thing.
He was, and he got paid very, very well for it. And I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know that he does come back. It's interesting. I talked to two players just last week, you know, on Tuesday when this was all sort of breaking, and I asked both of them, do you even want to come back to the PGA Tour? And the answer from both was, I don't know. And look, they have gotten comfortable with the lifestyle, playing 14 events a year, 54 holes, short pants, music, shotgun starts, big money, everything that went into it. So now you're asking them, okay, now you're going to have to change your lifestyle and go back to all the things you said you wanted to get away from. It's not an easy choice for any of these guys. And when it comes to Phil specifically, at his age, does he really want to come back and put up with whatever it is he's going to have to put up with?
Rex Hoggard from Golf Channel is our guest. I'm going to give you your dream here, Rex. I'm going to give you like 5 minutes just to talk about the actual golf, because we do have a major being played right down the street from us at LA Country Club this week. Obviously, the drama is going to be a big piece of it. But just tell me about this tournament, this course, and the guys in it. What are you expecting this week?
Oh, 5 minutes. This is so much better than what I get on the Golf Channel. Here we go.
Go. It's all yours. Time is yours.
I'm going to go straight to the golf course, and I usually don't do that because it's an inanimate object, and I don't feel like they tell very good stories most of the time. But LACC is going to be so interesting because we've never been here. And I think there's something magical about the idea, and I don't know if you're here in L.A. You're driving down Wilshire, and you're in the middle of Beverly Hills, and suddenly you take a right, and you're in the middle of this unbelievable golf course. It's sort of just this anomaly, right? It's this emerald green thing that's in the middle of this great city. And what the players are going to experience is probably not an Open that they've faced certainly in my lifetime, because it's going to be hard. It's going to be fast. It's Bermuda rough. Everything around the greens is going to be challenging. I was just talking with a stats guy about it's a second shot golf course. He said it actually reminds him a lot of Augusta, that the fairways are a lot wider than what you've come to expect at a U.S. Open. Now, you do still have to drive the ball relatively straight, but this will be all about on the greens. And given the USGA's history, there's a chance that they go over the top. And come Sunday, you and I are having a conversation about how did they lose this golf course, and which is fascinating given where we are in the game right now. But if they can maintain control and sort of control themselves, it's going to be such a unique test, because it's going to be the heart of this golf course is a 5 par 3. One of them can play up to 300 yards, and one can play 97 yards. I mean, so you have this wonderful dichotomy between all of it. I think it's going to be a fun test. And I think what you're going to end up with is a leaderboard of all the cast of characters that we love to watch. I'm sure Brooks will be in the mix come Sunday. I would imagine John Rahm is going to be in the mix. Scottie Scheffler, who is hitting the ball better than anyone in the game right now. If he can just putt just a little bit below average, he's going to be right there in the mix. I think it's really going to identify a unique champion.
And that, you know, brings me back. Sorry, I gave you 2 minutes there, but we're going to get back to one more question on this. Is there some, on some level, as much of a complete mess as this entire thing is, like, I, as a casual golf fan, on some level, like, I almost want to tune in for the drama. Is there any chance on the back end of this, not financially, because that's a whole other train wreck we can talk about on a side subject, but is there a possibility from a pure rating standpoint and anticipation from the PGA folks that this might actually, the drama of it, the chaos of it, might do well?
I think we learned at Augusta, and Augusta kind of normalized everything in this, but I think we all learned that it was whatever was going on in pro golf between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, it was only going to make the majors better. Because in the world that we lived in just a week ago, you only got the absolute best fields of the year 4 times a year now, because you had those players who left to go to LIV who could still compete. They proved it. They proved it at the Masters. Certainly Brooks proved it at the PGA. And then it was only going to make these events that much better. Now you sort of add the subtext to whatever the future's going to look like. You add a little bit of it, more animosity that, as you pointed out, the Rory McIlroys of the world probably don't like what they're seeing in the mirror right now. But man, I thought I made what was a good decision, and now I completely got hosed in it. So there is that drama, whether if the guys want to talk about it or admit it or not.
So who you got this week, Rex? You got your leaderboard. If you want to name one, you want to name three. I know you named some of the big names, but who do you think, or who's a sleeper maybe too that you think could end up in the mix here?
I don't think you can ignore Brooks. I mean, he's on one of those runs. He was just talking with the media. He sounded like the Brooks of old. He's too cool for golf, and everything about him just screams that he loves. And he said this a couple times. He loves the chaos, and that's what I feel like this week is going to be. We're already seeing it. It's on Tuesday. And we already have the chaos. And sort of the dark horse, and I was talking to someone about this the other day, and Terrell Hatton. And it would be such an unbelievable story, because anyone who has watched Terrell Hatton play golf can immediately identify with, oh, that guy's insane. Like, he's just like me on the golf course. He yells at himself. He's hard at himself. He says things that other golfers don't. But he's playing so well. If you look at his results the last 2 months, he has been in and around the lead, and he just kind of fades away Sunday afternoon. I can't imagine how entertaining he would be on this golf course on Sunday if he's in the hut.
Rex, this has been awesome, man. Really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great.
That's Rex Hoggard. You can see him on Golf Channel. Read him, golfchannel.com. Also the host of the Morning Drive there. It was a great breakdown. I'm glad that, like, I, as just the casual golf viewer, have the same viewpoint as somebody who, like, this is day to day, that it is this much of a mess. And I'm honestly, I'm entertained by it. I'm all for it. Yeah. I feel bad for the Rorys of the world. You know, it's the good versus evil. And I don't want to make any statements on the Saudi investment fund or anything else, but from a large standpoint here, the guys who left and, you know, marooned all their former competitors and friends on the other side of it, they won. The ones who made the money grab are the guys who won this entire thing. So, I hope we get a final group that's two guys on the opposite side of it. I mean, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want that?
Well, the drama is, right? I mean, because you look at the Masters, you had Brooks and Jon Rahm in the final.
Right.
Like, that was incredible. And then Brooks wins the PGA, and you're like, whoa, okay, well, he's back.
Right.
And so I think what Rex said, the golf course is going to be, it's going to be a big character over the weekend. It's going to be a big player in this. I cannot wait to watch, just seeing the images and the clips that are circulating in the golf space right now. It just looks like it's going to be an awesome, awesome event. And we got all the big names here, and that's really all you want.
Rex also mentioned the possibility of, you know, punitive return for the players who went to LIV Golf to come back to the PGA Tour. What would be more punitive than just, you know, let's say the PGA golfers, you hit one in that deep rough, you get to take it out, and the LIV golfers have to play from over there? I think we could do that just in the short term. It would have a financial impact in all likelihood.
Sure.
It would be like, when you're playing your buddy and, you know, you're an 8 handicap and he's a 15, and, like, you give him 7 strokes, and it's like he's got a little advantage. This would be I don't see this happening, but I'd be kind of entertained by it.
Yeah.
One guy hitting out of, you know, knee-high rough, and the other guy just gets to kick it out like you're with your buddies drinking some Coors Lights on a Tuesday. Yeah.
I think the best part about this whole, it's not a merger, it's a new deal that's going to happen, is that we're all just assuming it's going to happen.
There's also that. There's the number of questions in that letter.
We literally know maybe 1%. Like I said, the guys kept saying framework. It's a framework.
Right.
It still has to go through the DOJ and the FTC and the Europe and all. The European Union still has to sign off on all of this. There's so many levels of actual real litigation and governments that it has to go through before it actually happens, which, you know, I'd say the likelihood of this going down to maybe 25%, but it's fun to just think about the new golf world that could be.
I mean, at some point, these magical billions, if you're any of those governing bodies in the U.S., you kind of want to know where the money came from, right? That alone may raise some interesting questions.
Or that it's real.
Right. I mean, we all assume Brooks Koepka's got $150 million somewhere.
Yeah, or Phil got $200 and DJ got his 9 figures. Like, who knows?
That's a lot of money, man.
A lot of money to play golf.
Like, you win. What's the top purse for the U.S. Open this year?
U.S. Open's probably $3.75 million.
And these guys just got $200 million to show up and play in this stupid team golf that you can only stream.
We talk about signing bonuses. They got a 9-figure signing bonus.
That's a pretty nice little nice little nest egg, even if things hadn't worked out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. What was the downside? Well, your career, nobody watches, the whole thing folds.
The downside was just PR reputation hit, and if you can just withstand that.
But if you don't care, if
you're Dustin Johnson, like,
you think Brooks or Bryson or even Dustin, like, have a problem looking like they're smug and money hungry? Like, they're totally fine with all this.
Totally fine.
I don't think there's a lot of shame coming back.
I don't think so either. Phil, maybe deep down, I think probably cared the most, but
maybe. But Phil has been the renegade for, you know, quite a long time.
Yeah, swashbuckler.
That all turned at one point. So
yeah,
we got to take a break here. Let's get back to the Stephon Diggs situation in Buffalo, which is still playing out. I talked to his agent. We've seen the statement from Sean McDermott. We also had Dalvin Cook call in earlier in the show. We can circle back on that. And I know there's also a trivia game that's going to pit me versus Brockman. I'm already convinced Brockman cheated, and this is going to be an unfair fight.
You're probably right.
But stick around. We're going to do that next segment. Let's see if I can beat the cheater himself.
Oh, come on.
Chris Brockman. It's Pelissero in for Eisen.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
There you are, you're clapping.
Oh,
yes, you're clapping.
Oh, he's sweating. He's sweating.
Wait a minute. Brow. So he made it out of contestants' realm?
Yeah.
Yes, he made it out of contestants' realm. I've got a new car! A car! Yes! Yes! TJ can win a car!
Let's go!
This is amazing! All right, Master Key is the game. Master Key is the game. This is going to take a while. Okay, here we go. Oh, popcorn machine.
Oh, I take that if you win that, TJ.
By the way, you've got to bring in this popcorn machine if you win it. I want this popcorn.
Oh, 41.
It's not a $71. 41. It's 41. That's one key. That's one key. Grab the key. Take the middle key. Take the middle key. There's five keys.
Yes.
He takes the middle key. No, he's not looking. He takes the second to the right key.
I didn't look.
That's right.
Here's another key. Here's a basket. $584. That's a $58 basket. It's not an $84 basket.
No way.
What's in it?
You got to get what's in it, too. It's an $84 basket.
It's an
$84 basket.
Here's where I messed up. I listened to
That's an $84 basket.
I listened to the people.
Come on, TJ.
TJ.
84. No, it went 58.
58. No!
TJ! Oh, he only has one key.
We need to find a friend.
Oh, my gosh. Come on, TJ. It's an $84 key.
Uh-oh. Master
Key.
Right.
Does it unlock the... Okay, it does not.
Oh, coffee maker.
No coffee maker.
Okay, he's going to unlock the electric bike.
No.
Okay, all right. Does it unlock the car?
Oh my God.
Does it unlock the car?
Let's go!
TJ. Does it unlock the car?
Does it unlock
the car?
Does it unlock the car?
He's turning the key! No! TJ!
Stephon Diggs on a Tuesday in June has managed to steal the spotlight within the NFL and the sports world. Not in attendance at the mandatory minicamp, according to Bills coach Sean McDermott, who said this morning he's very concerned about Diggs' absence. You mentioned this in the last segment. I finally connected with his agent, who had been going back and forth with us because he kept calling me while we were on the air, Adisa Bakari, who told me, and I quote, "I don't know why Sean said what he said today. There are things being worked out on the way to being worked out. Stephon has been there since Sunday night. He was in the building this morning." Now, Diggs is not there currently. He was there to take a physical. He was with the team. We shall see. Does he rejoin? It sounds like Josh Allen is scheduled to speak shortly. So maybe Josh knows the whereabouts of his brother. But as I've mentioned, this is not the same as the Minnesota situation because there's not a way for the Bills, realistically, to trade Diggs' contract. They just restructured him back in March, gave him a $22-plus million signing bonus. He's got so much dead cap, they would take a massive hit over this year and next year to trade him. And so whatever needs to be worked out, because again, that's what his agent, Adis Bakari, says, there's things that need to be worked out. We shall see exactly how that all goes down. Dalvin Cook also called us earlier. One of the other big stories within the NFL. Talked about his shoulder. That was a big part of the conversation. I did not, even though I had reported on it and there were some different things that happened through the years, I did not realize the extent to which he had to go to try to protect himself over the past, really, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Learning how to fall differently, bracing for contact differently. And then sometimes, you know, going into every game, he said, you know, he's wearing a brace a lot of the time or a harness. And then there's always the risk it's going to pop out. And the ball might come loose. He got that fixed. He said that his doctors cut him loose. Would not reveal what teams have been sliding in his DMs, though he said it's been a lot. I like the part about how he said, you know, he plays Madden a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's, you know, being a free agent for the first time, he feels like this is Madden that he's going through. Because now suddenly, yeah, it's any team potentially can pick him up. I just love that he's doing the, he's not just playing the game.
Yep.
He's doing season mode on Madden. He's actually doing like the off season, like the franchise, whatever they call it, franchise mode.
He's doing
the whole thing. He's building the team. And I'm guessing he's paying running backs very well on that team.
I would imagine. Man, I can't, I just, the idea that he, his shoulder was that, in that rough a shape for that many years in a row, and it, he still produced.
Right. Four Pro Bowl years, yep. 4 1,000-yard seasons with a torn labrum. And there's guys who play with torn labrums. It's just once you tear it, that causes the subluxation where it pops in and out. Not subluxation. Not dislocation. Maybe it's subluxation. I got to look it up. I've been corrected on that before. Subluxation sounds right. We're going to go with that. But that, you always run the risk that that's going to keep coming out because you've got things that are torn to keep the shoulder stable. So now he's finally got two stable shoulders.
Subluxation is a partial dislocation.
There you go. Subluxation. The full dislocation is the thing is out.
Right.
Subluxation is just like it pops in and out and then pops right back in. But that's enough if you are professionally holding on to a football to sometimes make you not hold on to that football. I'm fascinated to see where he lands. I don't know that it's going to be soon. I do think there's going to be some contenders that nobody's talking about that get in the mix for him beyond the Miamis of the world, and we'll keep an eye on it. Speaking of NFL contenders, there was a graphic that was tweeted a couple of days ago by, I think it was 33rd Team, that was laying out, and who's hosting the segment? TJ, is it you? You're running this thing? The trivia game? Yeah. Who's running the trivia game?
Yeah, TJ's playing.
TJ's doing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trebek.
So, all right. You're playing, or Pat Sajak?
Alex Trebek.
You're the Sajak.
Sajak's Wheel of Fortune, bro.
I know, but he's retiring.
I mean, he's retiring.
Trying to give him.
This is your audition tape.
Are you saying Sajak couldn't run this trivia game? Is that what you're saying?
I mean,
granted, he's had one game for 40 years. He did leave for that 1 year, and that guy with like the dark hair came on, and then that show wasn't good, and Sajak, you know, was hosting his talk show, that went away, and then he came back. He's really only hosted one show, so I don't know. I would think he's got versatility.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's a professional.
Think about, you know, and I'm not, I didn't come here to crap on Pat Sajak. However, like of all games, did he not have the least to do of every game show host? Think about
Let's
it.
See.
The entirety of Sajak, like Alex Trebek reads the questions. Yep. You're on The Price is Right with Drew Carey. Mm-hmm. He's got to be reading the different things. He's got to, you know what the bid is, call out the correct person. I'm sure he's got a producer in his ear. Yeah. But Sajak is just repeating the letter the person said and then turns around while someone else flips the letters.
Yeah.
And if it's weird. No, he just says the next
That's
name. Funny. That's his whole job.
That's true.
The entire job.
That's true.
It's just calling on people.
Yeah. You.
Right?
He's, you're dead.
He did it for 40 years. and probably made live golf type money doing it.
Yes. Absolutely.
But I love Wheel of Fortune. Okay, anyway. So the 33rd team put out that graphic with every team's last 11-win season. I, like, saw the graphic pop up. I intentionally didn't look at it. I think Brockman did. But we thought, my initial reaction was, I think it would be fun to just throw out a team. Because, again, I don't know what it is. I would hope that I know, but I don't know that I'll know in every case. Can we name the quarterback and the head coach of some of those teams that haven't had an 11-win season in a while? So, TJ, I'm turning it over to you. Run this game.
We're not going
to
do all 32, obviously.
No, just some of them are, you know, last year.
Pick some random ones. Pick some random.
All right, well, here we go. Hello, folks. TJ Trebek here.
Hey.
Welcome to the inaugural edition of the TJ Rich Eisen Show Jeopardy. Yay.
Hey.
Now, let's welcome our first two contestants. First up, he's an NFL insider from Minnesota. We have Tom Pelissero.
Happy to be here, TJ. Let's go.
Let's go. Second up, he's an actor from Maine. It's Chris Brockman.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to give you the answers. Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for being a little bit late on that.
That's fine. I'm sorry.
We're going to give you the answers, and you're going to give me the correct question. Is that how that works? I think that's how
that works. That is how that works.
Answer in the form of a question.
Yes.
Wait.
So I'm going to just guess a letter.
You're going to guess the head coach and the starting quarterback.
And you're going to give us the year and everything?
I'm going to give you the year.
And you got to answer
yes, in the form of a...
All right.
Let's go. Here we go. Brockman, you're going to go first.
All right.
In 2014, the Detroit Lions went 11-5 with this starting quarterback and this head coach.
Matthew Stafford. Who is Matthew Stafford and Jim Schwartz?
You're very close there, Chris, but I'm sorry. The correct answer is Matthew Stafford and Jim Caldwell.
Oh, man.
Yes, they went 11-5 in
2014. 1,000-yard stare of Jim Caldwell.
Yes.
I would have stolen.
Now, can we? I guess we could steal, I guess.
Let's do steal.
Oh, wow.
I'll take the L on that one. I would have had it. But yeah, let's.
Right. Tom, how are you doing?
Let's go. I'm wonderful.
In 2016, the Oakland Raiders.
We've just been hanging out for 3 hours. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
In 2016, the Oakland Raiders went 12-4. With this dynamic quarterback and head coach combination, who are they?
2016 Raiders?
The Oakland Raiders.
Who are Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio?
Survey says, ding, 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 you are correct. In 2016, the Oakland Raiders behind Derek Carr and Jack Del Rio.
1-0.
Brockman.
Do I get a half a point for Jim? I had the gym
The way our scoreboard is set up, you can't do half points.
All right. Let's go.
In 2018, the Los Angeles Football Chargers went 12-4 behind this head coach and quarterback combo.
He's lost. Brockman's lost. There's no way he's getting this. There's no way you're getting
this. Say the team in the year again.
The Los Angeles Chargers, 2018, went 12-4. Behind this head coach and quarterback combo.
Who is Philip Rivers and Anthony Lynn?
Survey says,
ding. Yeah.
Correct, Chris Brockman.
All right. Brockman's back, baby.
I'm back.
Brockman's back.
I'm back.
And I know Survey says it's in jeopardy, but we're just throwing that
We're
in.
Really mixing a lot of, games here.
By the way,
can I buy a vowel?
I mean, these are some coaches.
Brockman, you should have did that in the first time. You should have bought a vowel.
I have not been in the game for a while.
What's AJAC's rule? Can I buy a vowel? Yes. Yeah. A. Is there an A? Somebody else does it.
Exactly. Tom.
I can't believe this is the most controversial take I've ever had on this show is Pat Sajak doesn't actually have any skills.
Also, he only works for like 2 months a year.
That's it.
It's pretty great.
Like 18 shows a day. Yeah. It's a true story.
It's a good
Tom,
game.
We're going to take you way back on this one, my friend.
Oh, boy. All right.
In 1991.
All right. Now we're getting into the challenge
portion. In 1991,
portion.
Washington... Whatever you want to call them, the Commanders, the football team, the
R's back then. Yeah.
They finished an impressive 14-2 behind this head coach and quarterback combo.
Who are Joe Gibbs and Mark Rippon?
Survey says, ding, 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 you are correct, sir. 1991, the Washington Redskins did go 14-2 behind Mark Rippon.
They won the Super Bowl that year or they won the Super Bowl the next year?
They won the Super Bowl that
year. Yeah. They won the Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Were you there?
Mark Rippon. 2-1.
Were you at the game?
I was 10 years old. I couldn't buy tickets.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No,
sure. got hooked up.
Okay. Chris Brockman.
I didn't go to the Final Four there the same year. Duke. Duke won over the Fab Five.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in the last row below the scoreboard.
Nice.
So far that you couldn't hear the ball bounce. You just saw it. But no, did not go to the Super Bowl.
All right. We're over now to the actor, Chris Brockman.
Yes.
That's in 2007. Ooh. The Jacksonville Jaguars finished 11-5 behind this head coach Ooh. And quarterback combination.
Good luck.
2007.
The Jacksonville Jaguars finished.
Don't help him, Del Tufo.
You think he knows the answer?
Exactly.
You can go ahead and phone a friend.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
You can phone. You can Jimmy Garoppolo.
You can phone a friend because we're combining all the games.
2007. He can Jaguars use my phone. Head coach.
He's not going to figure it out with me.
I mean,
I'll give you a. Can I give you a hint?
No, yeah. No, oh, no.
Yeah, give me a hint.
I got it.
Give me a hint.
Do you know it?
I think so. Yeah.
Who is Mark Brunell? And
I'll say that. I'll give you one hint. Because you're
is he already wrong on Mark Brunell?
Am I wrong on Brunell?
This head coach has already been named.
See, that's a giveaway.
Jack Del Rio?
Oh.
But you're wrong on the quarterback.
But you're wrong because it was David Garrard.
Oh, David Garrard.
And Jack Del Rio.
Would you have gotten that?
I was actually going to say Byron Leftwich. So we were both wrong on the quarterback.
He just didn't know.
David Garrard.
David Garrard.
11-5 with David Garrard.
Oh, yeah. God. All right, Tom.
All right. What's the score? It's still 2-1? 2-1 me. Oh, all right. How many more do we got? How many more rounds do we have here?
I mean, we can do this for the rest of the show.
This is the last one.
This is the last one. So this is for the game, or you can steal the tie.
Brockman can steal the tie.
All right, let's see it.
Come on.
In 2008, the Miami Dolphins finished with a record of 11 wins and 5 losses behind this head coach and quarterback combo.
Who are Tony Sparano?
Oh.
And Chad Pennington.
Oh.
Survey says. Yes. Well done. Chad Pennington and Tony Sparano led the 2008 Miami Dolphins to an 11-5 record. And that means your winner by 3-2 mark is
31.
Tom Pelissero. Let's give him a big hand.
You should have memorized those answers better when you cheated.
I did not cheat. Although I will say I did cheat on this one. In case you missed it, I was going to have it. They won the division that year because that was the year Tom Brady got injured.
That was also the year that Favre was on the Jets.
Right.
It was a weird, 08, they won the division.
Yeah. Because that was
running Wildcat.
That was the Wildcat year.
They were running Wildcat.
Yeah.
So it was really Ricky Williams and Ronnie Brown. But Chad Pennington got traded there after they acquired Favre to New York. And so he shows up midstream and they just kind of pieced it together. And then those teams played in week one. Dolphins, Jets. Wow. And we'll see if it goes better for Aaron Rodgers with a similar type of deal. Is Mike White's the Chad Pennington in all this. He ends up with the Dolphins.
That's amazing. Tua gets hurt. Mike White has to play the whole year, and the Dolphins win the division.
Hey, Mike bleeping White. I don't know if I want to play a whole season with him, but he'd be on that short. If I'm making the short list of the quarterbacks that I would want as the backup, if I need to just get through 4 games, Mike White might be in there. As long as he doesn't get his chest exploded like last year when he broke all his ribs or whatever it
was. Where's Tom Brady on that list this year?
Yeah, Tom Brady. This is not the NBA. Tom Brady's not riding the end of somebody's bench in case.
You can go home now.
Did you see the video? He was with Mr. Beast. He hit the drone from like 40 yards out.
That's fake, I'm sure.
Tom Brady does nothing fake, Tom. Pelissero.
Brady's had a few.
I was just going to say.
Didn't he do the throw the ball into the jugs machine repeatedly? Wasn't that him in that video?
Yeah, that was real.
That was real.
So how about E.T.? How about the Terminator? Also real?
E.T., overrated movie.
I still don't understand the E.T. being overrated thing.
Because E.T. dies.
He likes to make a stand sometimes,
Tom.
I don't think he really
When was the last time you rewatched E.T.?
As we documented yesterday, I've got a lot of movies I need to watch for a first time. I don't know that a second watch on E.T. is coming up anytime soon. But maybe I'll go from like an E.T. straight to Alf. Binge watch a season of Alf.
You kill me.
And just go from there on like weird 1980s alien characters interacting with human beings. There's a whole genre of that. Mac and Me. That was another one. That's a good.
Yeah, Mac.
That's a good one. What else? There's got to be other aliens who become friends with humans movies in the 80s.
Mindy, but it wasn't a movie.
What's that?
I said Mork and Mindy, but it was a TV show.
Yeah, that's another one. That was a big thing. We don't see a lot of just like an alien becomes your buddy shows or movies anymore. I'd like to bring it back. And I'm sure we will. As soon as the writer strikes over.
My favorite Mark.
We got to take a break. Josh Allen at the podium right now.
Oh.
Let's see if we have any more answers on the Stephon Diggs situation coming up right after this. It's Tom Pelissero in for Rich.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
He is here dressed head to toe, full on, with the beard and the robe and everything, and the sandals. Will Ferrell dressed as, go ahead, tell the radio audience who you're dressed as today, Will.
Jesus. Courtesy of Spirit Costumes. Made in China, mm-hmm. And it's adult, and if you can focus in on the bottom here.
Yes.
One size fits most. One size fits most.
So they're not really committing, are they?
No.
You're not really committing. One size.
One size fits most.
How does it fit you? It looks like it fits.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. But yeah, I am.
And you've got a Dodger cap on as well.
So I want to support my Dodgers. I looked at the calendar. It didn't dawn on me that until yesterday.
Yeah.
That today is the 30th.
It is that.
I thought, God, the beard. A beard really puts me out of breath. I don't know why.
You've got an intake, because it is up against the nose a little bit here.
There's only this much.
Yeah, I just
coverage.
See the eyes, right.
But boy, Jesus does love his omega-3s. Look how shiny the beard. Anyway, my point is, my kids, we have a rule in the Ferrell household. The boys get to pick out my Halloween costume every year, and I have to wear it no matter what.
Okay.
So they had picked out Jesus. I thought, day before Halloween, I got to wear it for Rich on a show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank your children. Thank your children
so
for
this
me.
Is courtesy of Axel, Magnus, and Matthias.
Okay.
They thought it'd be fun.
Why did they?
I don't know. There's no. Last year I was a poop emoji.
So you were on the gamut.
One year I was just a heavy set guy.
Okay.
I think I was Where's Waldo another year. Yeah.
And
so
then,
it there's no rhyme or reason.
Okay.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Stephon Diggs did stop by the Bills facility. Been there since yesterday, then was not there. When Sean McDermott said this morning he's very concerned about the fact that Diggs is not at the mandatory minicamp. I talked to Stephon Diggs' agent, who told me that there are some things that are on the way to being worked out. Josh Allen now taking the latest tour through the Stephon Diggs situation, or whatever you want to call it right now, speaking to reporters, saying that he knows what's going on with Steph. It's not football related. Says, I'm doing everything in my power to get him back on the field. We're a better team with him. At the end of the day, he wants to win, and we want to win. I talked to Steph today. This is all per Chris Brown from the Bills. Talked to Steph today. I'm sure we'll have more talks going forward. Such a special player. He doesn't want this to be a distraction. Well, for today, it's a bit of a distraction. You would hope that this gets resolved before training camp, but we got a lot of time to figure this out. Alan said, I'll do everything I can to get him back in our locker room, vibing with our guys. So that's where things stand. An unusual situation. Usually when people are missing time in minicamp, it is contract related. In this case, it does not appear to be contract related, which makes sense given that Stephon Diggs' contract was just restructured in March with a lump sum signing bonus, and it's really not tradable. So we shall see exactly how this all plays out. But at the moment, what we know is Stephon Diggs still a Bill, and in all likelihood, if he is playing, presumably, in the NFL in 2023, will indeed be doing so in Buffalo. As you're looking at the AFC, TJ, I'll pose this question to you. If you're stacking up the AFC right now, where are you putting the Bills?
Let's take a look at
this. We're ways out. We're 6 weeks out from training camp. We're still 80-something days from the opener.
Well,
80 or 90. I think we're 90 days.
I think it's in the 80s. Hang on. They send us this every morning.
I think it's between
86
like,
days yeah. right now wow. till the season opener. We're coming up on it. That's so less than 3 months away.
We got like a Hines Ward number of days left.
That's about 86.
Although you would call that, who said it yesterday? Who used weeks? We're 12 weeks away from the
weeks. That the was
NFL
me.
Season. Yeah,
I'm 10 weeks from my fantasy draft.
So you're saying where would I stack the Bills right now?
Where are you putting in the AFC?
Well, you got to look. You got to look Chiefs first. You got to put them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I gotta say, I couldn't place the Bills any lower than third, to be honest with you.
I think that as you're looking at that,
and I think that's the lowest you should really put them,
because you can argue the Bengals should be in there.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue maybe Cincinnati might be above them, so I'd say two or three.
You've got the Chargers who are.
I mean, they've
got a really good young quarterback. They got a lot of talent. They battled through a ton of injuries last year. I don't think that you can justify putting them above the Bills, but no. I do think they've got a chance. Look at their draft. Look at the health, relative health of the team. Mm-hmm. They added even more wide receivers to that group, the basketball team that they've got in that room. I think they've got an opportunity to be really good. You know, you look elsewhere in the AFC. Did the Jaguars take even another step this year? I don't think you can justify putting them above the Bills yet, but they've got the potential upside to be really good. Mm-hmm. I think the whole AFC North, where do you put the Ravens? With Lamar now locked in, you gave him Odell, you gave him Zay Flowers, you gave him a new offense. We'll see.
Some healthy running backs, too. Now, as long as those guys, you know, last year, you know, Dobbins got hurt.
Well, and we'll find out what goes on with J.K. He was, according to the local reports, he was there but not practicing today. He's not participated in OTAs. He wants a contract extension. Dude's averaged like 5.8 yards per touch or something per carry in his career. When he's been on the field, he's been unbelievably productive. And given the current running back market, I don't blame anybody for saying I would like to get the money now, not later.
Tom, I had a question that I asked Rich and Chris about maybe a month ago. Is it really crazy to think that maybe all four teams in the AFC North make the playoffs this season?
Well, it's hard just in terms of the numbers because you talk about every wild card spot going to one division. Yeah. But, I mean, you don't really see a weak link. I don't really have a good feel for what the Browns are. But you would hope that they're going to be better with Deshaun Watson. Well, Watson's already said they're going to really evolve the offense this year. They've got, like, I mean, star players. When you go down the list of, like, Chubb, obviously Myles Garrett, and then you've got some of those other guys, like they brought in Za'Darius Smith recently. You've got Amari Cooper, who's still a good, solid wide receiver. Yeah. They've got some pieces. Can they put it all together? You know, we saw it 3 years ago when they went to the playoffs, or 2 years ago, with Baker Mayfield as the quarterback. And then obviously there were a lot of circumstances that led to these past two seasons being a little bit rocky. And then the Steelers are another team that you know they're going to be competitive week in and week out. They have added pieces through the course of this offseason. They should be good defensively. Can Kenny Pickett take the next step, and can he overcome the concussion issues? All of which is to say, if you do that, and we haven't even talked about the AFC East, where you got the Jets as well, where you've got the Dolphins who went to the playoffs last year starting like 17 different quarterbacks. I mean, the AFC
is stacked.
Is absolutely stacked. The quarterbacks in the AFC, I mean, just go down the list of the teams, you know, I mentioned. Like, they're mostly in the AFC.
Well, we've talked about this with Rich earlier. I mean, if you look at the quarterbacks just in the AFC, you know, you're talking about Josh Allen, Tua, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson. Okay.
And five of those, and CJ Stroud just came
five
in
of
too.
Those guys aren't going to make the playoffs.
Right. Yeah.
Of that list.
Whereas
of,
on the NFC side, you don't run into those same issues on the NFC side of things. I mean, the NFC North, in my mind, is completely wide open.
Yep.
You would think on paper, it's really the Lions and the Vikings that are going to be competing.
Yep.
But the Bears made a ton of additions through the offseason. If Jordan Love sets the world on fire here, they're kind of in a transition phase. And I think that Matt LaFleur and company have tempered expectations here. But, you know, Matt's a really good coach. They still do have some weapons. They still have their running backs. We'll see, you know, what they are. Who wins the NFC East? I really don't know. I think it's fairly wide open, but I don't think there's like a single dominant team that you say is running away with the division. The Cowboys are the most talented from top to bottom. The Giants have tried to close that gap, going out and making bold moves.
I don't know.
Bringing in a guy like Darren
Waller.
The
Cowboys are, Tom.
You got the Eagles.
I think that's
obviously
your most talented team in the division.
I mean, the Eagles, if you're looking in terms of, they got a lot of veteran talent. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that. And they've surrounded Jalen Hurts with a ton of talent. So you've got three really good teams there.
Look how well they drafted back-to-back years. I mean,
they've taken some chances. When you win the way they've won, and when culturally you seem to be building what they're building, you could take some of those guys that other teams are going to be skittish about. You know, when Jalen Carter is sitting there, and some of the other teams are going, it's just, you know, it's too much of a risk that high. The Eagles are willing to trade up a spot and go get him at number 9 because they go, we're going to bring him into our building and it's going to work in our building.
To play with all of his college teammates.
Right. And all those guys. I mean, a lot of those guys had various things that made people nervous about them going to the process, whether it was medical, whether it was character. And they did the same thing last year and took some chances. And by and large, those chances have worked out. You can afford to do that when you have done what Howie Roseman has done, which is an unbelievable. He's built two Super Bowl caliber teams in a span of 6 years that are very different from one another. Completely different quarterback, a lot of different core pieces, totally different skill group, basically. And then, you know, defensively, you got guys like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham that have been there a long time, but everybody around them is different. Different coaching staff. I mean, the whole thing is different. The only constants, it really is, you know, Howie Roseman. So, and I didn't mean that as a, you know, I said Dallas, I didn't mean that as a slight toward the Eagles. You probably put the Eagles up there, but how many other teams in the entire NFC, the 49ers probably, have to be in there, maybe the Seahawks, but how many of those teams are you putting above the handful of teams we just named in the AFC? I mean, this is the fun of it. We're sitting here on June 13th going through this, and a lot of different things can change, and injuries happen, and you learn who rookie players are, but you certainly look at the AFC right now and say Aaron Rodgers is joining a really tough group. Hey, thanks to all of our guests today. Leonard Amazing. Fournette, Dalvin Cook. Who else? We had Ian Rappaport on. All sorts of people. Thanks for all of you for watching.